been said recently here about this subject. Now, the subject is very common, and I wrote it down word for word, as it was on my piece of paper, dating and courting as a born-again Christian. Somebody wanted to talk about that, and I think we should talk about it, because I think in America and in the Church of America, we could improve. The divorce rate in the church is about the same as is in the non-church. And we certainly could. I hope you can hear something that will be a blessing to you. Sam, would you just get up and say a quick word of prayer? Shout it from the housetop. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, also, if you want to put something else on here, I've got the tablet and I've got a pen tonight. I'm just going to leave it up here, and I hope that somebody will want to hear about something else. But if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to a book that has two names. One of the names is Song of Songs, and one of the names of that book is Song of Solomon. Both is the same book. The older translations is Song of Solomon. And we're going to read from chapter 2 and verse 7. And I'm going to start in a weird place on this, and I'm going to get even more different from what we're going to say about this here. All right. In my New Living Translation, this book is called Song of Songs. Right here in my other hand, in my King James translation, it's called Song of Solomon. Okay. Praise God. And here is what chapter 2 and verse 7 says. Many believe that this book, the author of this book, is Solomon. And he was quite a ladies' man. He had quite a few ladies. Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right. Now, there's two things we can say about that right off for our generation, and I'm going to be speaking some very basic things that do not go along with society today. But may I say this here? God hasn't changed his mind. There's a way that marriage and dating and all of that works best, and if you do it the Lord's way. And I'm not going to beat people over the head, but I'm going to say what the Bible says, and that if that offends you, well, you know what part of your problem is then. You're offended by the written word of God, which is the living word of God, which is food for the born-again believer. That's what we eat. Now, let me say what I believe as I've seen in life. I believe that men and women can be friends. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. I believe it, but I'm not everybody, but I can see where some people think, no way, there'd be something going on. Well, I have women that are my friends, my wife has women that are her friends, and it's not like that, number one. And number two, it's not, did I say something wrong? We have friends, okay? And if you can't, I don't know, that might be part of the problem. But now, I want to say that also in the Word of God, dating is not a big deal in the Word of God. It's not there much. You guys can have friends and you can talk, you can do this, you can do that. But dating, wouldn't you say, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. Is the purpose of dating not to find somebody to spend your life with, mostly? Now, yeah. Okay. You know what? Let me tell you something, little fella. I love you. I love you a lot. You know what?
These 14 and 15 and 16-year-old kids that are dating, they're not doing that for love but, or whatever future. But later on, you sure hope to be
yes,
doing that.
But what I'm saying is this here. What should we be doing?
Should and do.
You know what? What should I preach?
What we should be doing.
Okay. Anyhow, what we should be doing. You know, and I have to agree with Frank, because before I was dating Millie, I was doing the wrong things, like many people. I got saved when I was 19. I've said this before. I did some of my best sinning after I got saved because I was so young. I just wanted to continue to explore sin. And that's just awful. But more and more that pressed in on what I was doing. And I began to see and understand at a young age, God put it in my heart that the purpose of dating would be, if you're a Christian, not all the time, but it would be, one of the things would be to find a lifelong partner. Amen? Get to know somebody and find out about them. Find out how they believe. Find out how you believe. Now, I'm leading to another place with this, but I want to exploit this verse as much as I can. Do not awaken love until the time is right. Now, the intimate relations that people can have between them, if you're a born-again believer and you're going to a church that has pastors that are not afraid of you, that are going to lovingly tell you the truth, that's sin. If you take that too far, if you take that to marital relations, because one leads to another and then another to another. And I can remember when I was a kid, I was in high school, there was a girl, and she got pregnant. Now listen to this, listen how the culture's changed. She had secretly left the school. Abortion was illegal then, and she didn't, she just left. It was a shameful thing for that to happen and to find out. Am I right or wrong? Some of you that are older, is that not so? Yeah, I had to go wait, find some people close to my age to get it. Because we have been drunk on every kind of sin, and it's in the church, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of difference between the activity of church people and worldly people. And that's not going to work. Millie and I did not have those kind of relationships until we were married. The Lord said, Angelo, I want you to honor me in this area of your life for the first time. I want you to honor me. And you know, we dated, and we did not. And you know what? If we make it to August the 10th, we're going to be married 52 years this year. Now, I attribute that. I can't talk about everybody else's marriage. Am I saying that God won't forgive a person and you can maybe work things out? Of course you can. It depends on how saved you get. See? But there is a blessing that you can't know if you had a marriage and you was doing things that you shouldn't be doing according to the Bible. You'll never know. I know. I could share some blessings. There's just blessings to doing things God's way, honoring God. But as a young fella, I was 22 years old. The Lord said, I want you to honor me this. He said, I've got a special purpose for your life. I remember telling Pastor Williams, who came here to Arkansas from California, and we renewed our vows here back when we was married in the 30 year. I can remember telling him when we were preparing for that wedding, I said, Pastor, I said, I think God's calling me to the ministry. And I didn't even know what I was saying, but I could feel something in my heart. And he said, this is real important to me, Angelo, and this is real important to you. And you know, I honored God in that. And we have been through some terrible trials in our marriage, and yet we're still here. And I attribute that I married the person that God had me to marry. No matter what you think, God doesn't want you to be alone unless you want to be alone. God's got a person for everybody. And that's just the truth. And it's important to God that you're happy. It's not good that man should be alone, he said. I'm going to make him my helpmate. So, and also, do not awaken love until the time is right. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, including marriage. There's a time to be married, and there's a time not to be married. And is divorce in the Bible? Yeah, it's not spoken of too greatly. Does it happen sometime? Yeah, Jesus, the strictest teacher, he said under certain circumstances and under certain activity in a marriage, divorce is scriptural. And people cannot abuse people in a marriage. You can't, that doesn't work for God. It doesn't work for him at all. So do not awaken love until the time is right. And you know, the time for a person, like folks that are sitting in here, like first folks that might listen to this message, if you want to be right with God, if you want to please God, if you want to be a doer of the word, you want to restrain yourself. The Bible teaches that all the way through. I'm going to another place with this, and you'll see in just a moment. Let's go to our next verse. Our next verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And I'm teaching on the subject, dating and courting as a born-again believer. Here's what it says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in my translation. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. As we have taught you, you live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. For you remember that what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm coming here to you tonight by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the latest fad idea on this subject, but what the Word says works, actually works. Verse 3, God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Now, if we can't say that in this church, what are we doing here, for goodness sakes? Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and do not know his ways. Now, it just that makes it pretty clean. Does anybody have any doubt about that, about the will of God there, what God wants? Does everybody understand that? You know, we've got some young people here, and they're above average. And I think that the people, the young folks that are here, it'll help them if somebody just says certain things are not acceptable to God. They're just not. Okay. Now, I'm going to put, this is how the Lord led me on this subject. I believe the best marriages, hear me, are arranged marriages. This Bible, from cover to cover, is full of arranged marriages. Now, we're going to look a little bit, what we can, at one arranged marriage with parents. And I want to say something to you. I had a mom, a dad, and a stepfather, and none of them was living this out. I was just born in a mess. But I ended up in an arranged marriage. Because how many of you in this very small group consider that you're born again? You're a born again believer. And if your hand's down, you don't consider you're, okay, yes. For everybody in here, no matter what kind of mother or father you might have had, you can have an arranged marriage. And I'm going to show you how. If you would, finally tonight, last place tonight, is in the book of Genesis chapter 24. And I'm going to read from there. And I'll tell you, if I offended anybody, I don't mean to. And Frank, I hope I didn't upset you, because good. And you know you're right on a lot of things. And I happen to know my son-in-law, and he is a very moral, godly person. Now, am I saying he never did anything wrong? I can't talk for anybody else. I can't, you know what? I've done a lot of things wrong. I'm not proud of them. But I think I'd do better if I just didn't act like a goody-goody two-shoes, because I haven't been, okay? All right? But I'm going to teach you a powerful thing here, if I can get this across. Now, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 24, and I've got, I don't know how far we can read this. We'll just read some of it, but I'm going to share what this is about. This is about the heading of my 24 here is a wife for Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, "Take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh and swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife." This is an arranged marriage. And I'm telling everybody in here, no matter what kind of raising you had, no matter what kind of parents you had, you can have an arranged marriage, and there's nothing better. So, let's see here. All right. "Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac." The servant asked, "But what if I can't find a young woman who is willing to travel so far from home? Should I then take Isaac there to live among your relatives in the land you came from?" "No," Abraham said. be careful never to take my son there. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. If she is unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath of mine. But under no circumstances are you to take my son there. So, you know what this is saying? Everybody in this room is as special as Abraham or any person in this. God's got a plan for your life. And if you're single and you desire to be married, which most people do, God's got a person for you. And everybody look at me for a moment, because God's got a person for you. Young people, look at me. God's got a person for you. Satan's got bunches of them for you. And ain't none of them going to work out. Older people, am I lying to these young people? Okay. So the servant took an oath by putting his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham. He swore to follow Abraham's instructions. He loaded 10 of Abraham's camels with all kinds of expensive gifts from his master. He traveled to a distant land, and he went to the town where Abraham's brother Nahor had settled. He made the camels kneel down beside a well just outside the town. It was evening, and the women were coming out to draw water. And the servant prayed this, "O Lord God, my master, Abraham," he prayed, "please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham. See, I am standing here beside the spring, and the young women of this town are coming out to draw the water. This is my request." This is what he's praying. "I will ask one of them, please give me a drink from your jug. If she says yes, have a drink, and I will water your camels too. Let her be the one that you have selected as Isaac's wife. This is how I will know that you have shown unfailing love to my master." Before he had finished praying, he saw a young woman named Rebekah coming out with her water jug on her shoulder, and she was the daughter of Bethuel, who was the son of Abraham's brother Nahor and his wife Milcah. Rebekah was very beautiful and old enough to be married, but she was still a virgin. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up again, running over to her. The servant said, "Please give me a little drink of water from your jug." She said, "Yes, my lord, have a drink." And she quickly lowered her jug from her shoulder and gave him a drink. When she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too." So she quickly emptied her jug into the watering trough and ran. Okay, it went on and on and on. Now, they have this situation. I can't read all these verses in a small service like this, but this is an arranged marriage. There are arranged marriages in the world still today. In many countries that are not in America here, most people in America don't have that. But I'm going to skip up to, we're going to go to this here. I'm going to go to verse 55. It says, "But we want Rebekah to stay with us at least 10 days, her brother and mother said. Then she can go. But the servant said, "Don't delay me. The Lord has made my mission successful. Now send me back so I can return to my master." "Well," they said, "we will call Rebekah and ask her what she thinks." So they called Rebekah, and they asked her, "Are you willing to go with this man?" And she replied, "Yes, I will go." So they said goodbye to Rebekah and sent her away. with Abraham's servant and his men. The woman who had been Rebekah's childhood nurse went along with her. They gave her his blessing as she parted. Our sister, may you become the mother of many millions. May your descendants be strong and conquer the cities of their enemies. Now, New Testament, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that he would call us his sons and daughters. If you're born again and you will work out your salvation, I was 19 years old. I was 22 when I got married. I began to work out my salvation. God is your parent, and God will arrange a marriage with you. And smart people, they want to marry somebody that God says, thumbs up. And he is your parent. He is your everlasting parent. We are told in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, and when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, not hey, Lord, not oh, Master, our Father. He wants to know us in the way a father knows a child, because he's the father of the whole earth, really. Our Father. If you will, those of you that desire that, you know, when I was 22, I started wanting to be married, I think. And one of the things that I remembered, the only woman my mom ever approved of, I mean ever, was Millie. She said, I think you should ask her out. Angie, I think you should ask Millie out. Right next door. You ask her out. She's a nice, I like her. And I thought, wow. And that's how Millie and I got started. We lived next door to each other. And she is a perfect woman for me. And every man in here, God's got a perfect woman for you. And every woman here, God's got a perfect husband for you that's made for you. And we can get discouraged. And we can, the devil will attack us in a mind and say, oh, no, that's not the way it is. No, God don't have anybody for you. And we can believe lies and tell each other lies and live lies. And look at how our country has changed. Paul, my goodness, in your lifetime, in my lifetime, people being embarrassed to end up accidentally pregnant to this, what we have now. I don't even know what you'd call it, but there's no shame. It's 1 Timothy. In the last days, perilous times will come, because men will be lovers of their own selves. They won't have any shame about anything. And that's the way this world is. But if you think that's going to work out the best for you, no, it's not. And look at here. There may be people in this room that's been divorced, and you're believing God for a husband. Are people going to hear me? All I can tell you is this. This time, that's what the Lord told me, Angelo. This time, I want you to honor me. Do you hear me, Angelo? And I said, yes, God. And you know what? I was able to do that. And we've been through a lot of stuff. We've been blessed. We've been so blessed, we try to keep it a secret. Because people get mad at you if you're not as miserable as they are. God loves you, all of you, red and yellow, black and white, little kids and old people like me. God loves you. But I believe in arranged marriages as I just described it. If you want to be married, make sure that God told you to marry the person that you marry. And honor him during the courtship, and you will have the best marriage you've ever had. Isn't it time for a change, folks? Isn't it time to do something right? And I'm not saying that you're not. I realize I'm talking to people that want to know the truth. And I could get up here and talk on another subject and fool around with it and just hope that everybody likes me. You know what? More than I want you to like me, I want you to believe me. I want you to believe I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. I've been living this way for many, many years and suffering and working out my salvation and making mistakes and making sins and just working over. And I found that God is forgiving. I found that he's loving. He's not looking for a reason to keep us away from him. He's looking for a reason to gather us up. And that's what Jesus' life was all about. Now, as you've heard this here, there may be somebody in this room or somebody that will hear this message that wants to be married, that's not married. And I think I've just given you, we're going to examine our hearts because that's the way the word says to take communion. Examine your heart, then eat of that bread and drink of that drink. If there's anything in your heart that God is dealing with you on, confess it to him and say, Lord, I'm willing to change. I want to do it your way. Help me, Father. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me and cast me not away from your presence, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. I think something is very beautiful. Can I say something, Angel? Angels believe in God. For juniors, Daddy. I'm going to tell you. That guy loves me. He always has. I don't know how. He just loves me. And, you know, even in my own self, I want the best for Angel. Maybe that's not the best, but you know what? Maybe it is. So I'm praying. I'm with you. I'm saying it from this pulpit. I'm with you, Angel. I want what you want. And that little boy is so precious. Could we examine our hearts now, and we'll take communion, we'll go home.